Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here, questions and answers, Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare.
Hello?
Lori?
Yes.
Nikita Koloff, welcome to questions and answers, Q&A with Koloff. Thanks for joining me today.
I'm so excited.
Well, great to have you. Now, I know, I saw Laura, but also Lori. So you go by Lori, though.
Yeah, that was my dad's bright idea to give me a couple different names to confuse me as a child. So, yes, Lori's fine.
Dads will do that. Easy name to remember. I have a sister named Lori. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah, it's spelled the same way, right? L-O-R-I, right? Awesome. And I think I'm remembering, correct me if I'm wrong, from your Twitter, that you must be, you're either a Chicago Bear fan or you're up in the Chicago area. Is that right?
Well, I am a Chicago Bear fan. Ever since I can remember.
Okay.
I have a picture at the Hall of Fame standing in front of some memorabilia when I was about 5 years old.
Wow.
But I'm not from Chicago. I am from a small town in Virginia, about 30 minutes south of D.C.
Oh, what's the name of the town?
I live in Warrenton, Virginia, Fauquier County.
The reason I'm asking is I've done a lot of ministry in Dumfries, Virginia.
Yeah, I can get to Dumfries in about 20 minutes. So, yeah, I know where that is.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I've actually... A number of years ago, I did quite a few school assemblies in Woodbridge as well. So,
yep.
Right in your backyard, kind of, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Well, so how does a young girl growing up in Virginia become a Chicago Bear fan? I just tell me that story real quick.
Well, I lived in a house full of men. I had older brothers. I was the youngest of five.
Wow, okay.
And so my dad and my brothers were all big, huge sports fanatics.
Yeah.
My dad was one of those very traditional people who thought you should like every hometown team that was available.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, you know, that's just not me. So I'm like, so one day the Washington was playing Chicago on TV, and my dad was like, you really should, let's sit down and watch this, like become a you know, Redskins fan. And I'm like, I think I'm going to like the team they're playing. So it was really out of rebellion that I chose the Bears.
There you go. Well, hey, we kind of, by nature, we kind of do that anyway, don't we?
Yeah. So, you know, and I've just been there ever since.
All these years later, still a Bears fan.
Yes.
Well, good for you. Well, I can't say, I mean, I'm not one of those, you know, big, like, rival, like, oh, I hate, you know, cause I grew up in Minnesota, right? Not, of course, you know,
right.
For all the listeners out there, by now, you should realize I'm not from Russia, right? So, but yeah. We'll get to your question in a minute because it kind of relates to that. But So you know, I grew up a Minnesota Viking fan. Of course, all these years later, even though I've lived in the Carolinas longer now than anywhere else, I'm still, they're number one. I'm on the top of my list, you know, so I'm still a Viking fan, right? Of course,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly, yes.
Vikings and Bears, you know, over the years. They used to call it the Black and Blue Division. I don't know if they even still do, but they used to call it the Black and Blue Division, right? So, can't say I was a fan of the Bears, but I respect all of the teams, right? So,
yes.
At this point, I just like a good competitive game. So,
I love a good game.
So, man, you grew up in a house full of men. Bless your heart, man. That had to be challenging.
It had its moments, you know, but. you know, being the only girl, you kind of learn how to manipulate the system sometimes. So, yeah, it was good.
Take advantage, right? Being the only girl. So, yeah, I understand that. I raised four girls, so I kind of understand a little bit about that, you know, as far as the soft, tender heart of the girl, right? You got to take care of the girl. So, well, let me ask you, where did, because we're going to get to your, I'm going to go to your, your wrestling question here in a second. So when did wrestling come into play there? Was your dad and your brothers, I mean, were they wrestling fans, or how'd that come to be?
I cannot remember a time that we did not watch wrestling. It's always been on the TV. My dad was a fan, but only in a sense where he would like to root against whoever you loved.
Okay.
So he just found the fun in it. Now, the brother who is closest to my age, he's pretty much the one that's responsible for us becoming such diehard fans. And I've been my very first favorite wrestler was Tito Santana.
Okay, yeah. I know
so
Tito.
Way back in the WWF, and I loved him for, gosh, forever. And, like, it's just, it started there. You know, you just find one that grabs your interest, and then from there you just are so invested.
Well, I really appreciate you being such a loyal fan and all these years later. And, you know, I say it all the time, it always bears repeating, you know, we love our fans. And so thank you for being such a long-standing loyal fan.
I appreciate the effort that in the hard work and, you know, the bumps and bruises and the pains that you all go through to perform for us. So it is, you know, I think it's a blessing on our side as fans to have something positive to look forward to each week.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think more and more people have come to appreciate what you just said, realizing, you know, that yes, wrestling is entertainment, but yes, guys really, I mean, I had my share of injuries in the ring and some a little more serious than others. Fortunately, I have never had any major serious injuries like some of the guys, you know, have sustained, you know, Stone Cold, you know, breaking his neck or, you know, just different, you know, just lots of guys blowing out their shoulder or their knee or different things like that. Fortunately, I did that on the gridiron. I did that on the football fields. I guess I got it all out of my system on the football field where I didn't have to. Although I will say, like even now, my lower back, I mean, these last 6 months has just been aggravating me the heck out of me. And it's, you know, it's from being that human crash dummy, right? In that wrestling ring.
Yeah.
All those body
yeah.
slams, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, one of your questions was your Russian accent hard to master? Well, Lori, let me tell you something right now. it was, does that take you back a little bit?
Yes. Oh, that was so great. Thank you.
And I know you're like, I really thought it was authentic. And
I was crushed. I really was. You know, back in the 80s, you know, I'm an 80s kid, like when you're starting to discover things in the world and like, you know, wrestling and like we were at the mercy of the televised shows and magazines that came out like 6 weeks after the events happened. So, you know, we didn't have access to into information that's available now. So, yes, I was like, I was really like shocked. Man.
Well, you, believe it or not, still, even with the advent of the internet and everything else, I still, in fact, I was doing an autograph signing. This is, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. You lose track of time. But it was in Virginia. I'm doing an autograph signing in Virginia. And I got the total package. Lex Luger sitting next to me. And we're just signing away. And all of a sudden, there's a long line. All of a sudden, I hear this fluent Russian, right? And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Here we go. You know, because I'm not Russian, nor do I speak Russian. I threw a few phrases and words out that would convince someone like yourself, Lori, that I really was from Russia. And so I'm like, well, maybe if I ignore her, she'll just go away, right? And so something else fluid in Russia. I'm like, she's not going anywhere, right? I'm going to have to address this. And I look up, and we make eye contact, and she got the little daughter with her. She's glowing, right? She's just like glowing. And she, when I look at her, she says something else in Russian. Now, I've understood not one thing she said yet. And I look at her, and I go, ma'am, I go, I'm not really from Russia. That was like a character that I portrayed. And Lori, she goes from this glow. She takes about a half a step back, and from a glow to a scowl. And she says, you're not really from Russia. And I go, ma'am, it was just a character that I portrayed. She goes, I drove 3 hours here to meet you, and you're not.
Oh, no.
And of course, my good buddy Lex is just stirring it up, going, nope, nope, he sure isn't. I'm like, dude.
Oh, thanks I got for this. Your help, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for stirring it up, Lex. And and I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry. And she was so mad, Louis. She never did. She got out of line, took her daughter, never got an autograph. 6 hours in the car.
Oh no, I would have not wasted that opportunity.
But she
I can understand that.
But she was that mad, right? So I'm like, oh my gosh. So, but as far as mastering that, I mean, I took about 6 months before I ever spoke a quote word of English on a television interview. 6 months silence, just destroying guys every week without saying a word. And in the process, though, I got a Russian back in the day cassette tape, a Russian workbook. I learned to sign my name in Russian. I took it serious, obviously, because you believed it and many others did, right?
Oh, I sure did. I definitely did. And I want to even say that you might have been retired before I even realized that you were from Minnesota. So,
right.
Yeah, good for you. That was great.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, I did take it as a compliment And so about six months to really kind of master, okay, if I really was from there, how would this word sound? How would that word sound? How would a sentence sound? I mean, in the meantime, I'm listening to some of the Russian cassette tape. I'm learning to sign my name, doing all this stuff. And yeah, it was, you said, you know, one of the better secrets of wrestling because, you know, there wasn't the internet and all that back then. So, you know.
And what a time to be an angry Russian in America. Like, it was just. Perfect timing. So.
It was Cold War era, and believe it or not, there were six different times, starting with the Great American Bash with Ric Flair in 1985. The first fan that got over the barricade, actually in the ring, and got his hands on me. Now the other five times, my radar's up, my antennas are up, so nobody else ever got their hands on me. But five other guys tried to get their hands on me, right, and just did not like me. In fact. Right, the magazines, right? One of the most, the number one most hated guy in professional wrestling, right? So.
Well, see, and there you go. I mean, it's an interesting stat, but it just proves you were doing your job well.
I was. Yeah, I take that as a compliment. Well, let me get to your second question. I want to save that one from last. It's a great question. You said last year, 2020, for everyone was a very challenging year. I mean, you are spot on. You know, churches still struggling either to open or stay open, to hold attendance. And I like what you said. We need Jesus now more than ever. And boy, if that's not true, that is for real. And as Christ followers, how do we reach the lost was part one question. And then how do we help them establish a relationship with Jesus, especially during this quarantine or during this whole craziness that's going on. Two really great questions. Let me address the first one. How do we reach the lost? I mean, you know, certainly for me, you know, as an evangelist, it's part of my calling, it's part of what I do, right? When I go out and travel and minister in churches and you know, conferences, like I'll be down near Pensacola, Florida, doing a men's conference. I do camps called Man Camp with Lex Luger. I do conferences called Man Up Conference, right? So I'm in front of a lot of guys and really challenging them. And you know, do they have a relationship with Jesus? Secondly, if they don't, you know, to make that decision to do that. But for the person who's not, you know, like me, like say an evangelist or just, you know, maybe a marketplace person or a mom raising children or, you know, I think for me, one of the best ways to do that, to reach the lost is just to be growing and maturing in our own relationship with Jesus. And then in doing that, just being salt and light to everybody we come in contact with, whether it's the raising of children, working out in the marketplace with coworkers, running into someone at the gas station, walking through a grocery line and being kind to the gal or the guy checking out, you know, bagging your groceries or checking you out or, you know, just being salt and light, just living it. So not necessarily preaching to somebody although that can be a part of it. I like what there was this quote, I believe is Sir Francis of Assisi, who was quoted as saying this: at all times, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when necessary, use words.
Amen.
And the obviously the point being, just live it. Just live it. And then eventually they go, man, what's so different about you? Or how come, you know, you don't react at work when this happens? Or, you know, you respond, but you don't get upset, or you don't blow up, or, you know, cuss somebody out or whatever. Well, you know, well, I'm glad you asked. You know, hey, at lunch break, can I share that story with you? And then it's just sharing your story. I like to call it your story, your testimony, right? We're known by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so it's just bearing good fruit to the people that you're around, I think, is one of the best ways we can reach the lost. Just being authentic, being real, and showing, you know, your love for Jesus through your actions, even more so than your words. Is that helpful?
Oh, that's extremely helpful. Yes. And, you know, real quick, the church that I belong to, the first full week in January every year, we do a week of prayer. So every night we come together and we pray. And the last night we were kind of like discussing things after we prayed and kind of like what we heard from Jesus or, you know, what direction. And that's, you know, that it's spot on to exactly what our pastor was saying. Like, it all starts with ourselves, and we can't expect other people to know who Jesus is if we're not exhibiting his love and his grace to others. So
that's good.
It's exactly what we were talking about last night.
Yeah, that's good. And as far as helping them establish, you know, that relationship with Jesus, whether it's during the quarantine or anything else, again, the word that comes to mind there, Lori, is discipleship. Discipleship. I heard recently of a good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine in Fort Mill, South Carolina, thought he had heard an interview with Reverend Billy Graham one time saying, if there was something you could change, Reverend Graham, you know, what would be something you'd do different? And I believe what he said was, I would have had more disciples and less converts.
Hmm.
More disciples and less converts. You know, certainly we want to see everyone, you know, get converted, come to know Jesus in a personal way, right? A personal relationship.
Yeah.
But that's just the beginning. Then
absolutely.
You know, like a newborn infant, you don't leave it to fend for itself, right? You got to nurture that infant. You got to take care, raise it, and whole deal. Same thing with a brand new believer in Jesus. We got to disciple them, people. We got to nurture them, disciple them, and help them establish that new relationship that they just formed with Jesus. And that's something I believe is incredibly lacking in the church as a whole, and something that the church as a whole needs to begin, especially in today's time, start focusing on more and more.
Amen. I agree.
Well, I'm going to let you go here in just a second, Lori, but I appreciate you. Man, thanks for being on Questions and Answers, Q&A with Koloff today. And, of course, well, it's going to be great because, you know, the show's called It's Time to Man Up, but it's always great to have a female voice on that show, too, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And help us out by just, you know, continuing to spread the word for the podcast. And who knows, one day maybe I'll get up to your area, be able to meet you face to face, and maybe even preach at your church. Who knows, right?
Oh, what a blessing that would be. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, God bless you, and thank you again for your time today. And we'll look forward to continuing to connect on social media.
Yes, Nikita, thanks so much.
All right. Take care, Lori.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Truth Network.